Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, we have been mentioning it all morning. A letter has been sent, I just received mine, to the schools by the HSE saying that it has seen a large increase in general viral infections among children and young people this winter. The parents are getting these letters now. Parents should be told that if a child is unwell or if they have a fever, a cough, a sore throat, they should stay at home. The warning comes after the HSE yesterday evening confirmed that a four-year-old child in Dublin has tragically died from an invasive form of strep A, and after a five-year-old, Stella Lily McCorkindale, died from a severe form of bacterial infection in Belfast on Monday. We're not here to scare you. We're just here to give you the facts and tell you what to look out for. Nurse Sarah Kearns is in studio to answer some of those questions and talk about strep A. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's talk about what happened to you yesterday.
I had a whopper yesterday. I know, I've been terrifying everyone, but it's okay. So basically, as anyone who'd listened to the show, no, I have three little kids. They're nearly 8, 5, and I have a baby who's 18 months old. And it's so much to go with your gut. So yesterday, I have an amazing minder, Olga, who is always on top of everything. And I happened to be working from home yesterday, and as was my husband. But anyway, he was not right all day. Whingy, clingy, a low grade temperature, 37. We were just treating with a Calpol-Nurofen. There's so many viruses going around. He wasn't, what was interesting about it is that he wasn't sick enough for me to say, I need to go to the GP.
Just a low grade fever, a bit clingy. Okay.
Clingy. His breath was a bit smelly, so I suspected that he'd have a sore throat, maybe. But I couldn't, his glands weren't up. I couldn't, there was nothing driving me towards a GP. Like, it's not as if his temperature is 40 or whatever, okay? So anyway, he wasn't himself, went for his nap at 1. He woke up at about 3. Olga took him downstairs. I was on a call and then she came up and said, will you come down? Or my husband, actually, she called Rob and he said, come down and look at Theo. And that's kind of unusual. Hung up the call, went down, and he was completely blue, unresponsive. He was having a febrile seizure. Legs and arms out. He was stiff. He was shaking. And I knew instantly he was having a febrile seizure. But Rob had given him a little bit of oral Calpol. So it was kind of coming out the side of his mouth. So I came into a situation. And like, I teach first aid, right? I have three little kids and I'm a qualified nurse. I have seen seizures before. None of my kids have ever had a febrile seizure before. But what was interesting is that I didn't know when this had started. Everyone's like, no, he just hasn't been right for the last couple of minutes. So I couldn't get a proper time on how long he'd been down. Mm. Like, the general rule is, so the thing with febrile convulsions, any parent that has ever witnessed a febrile convulsion will tell you it is horrendous. I've worked with a doctor whose wife's a doctor, very cool, calm, collected people. And I remember they called an ambulance one night because one of the kids, even though you know that generally speaking, like 99% of the time that you don't have negative side effects, they just literally come around. They last a couple of minutes or longer and then they come around. What was interesting, so I knew, but then I didn't know he was so unresponsive and he was so blue. I couldn't get a normal breathing rate on him. So Rob had started calling an ambulance. There was no ambulance available in Dublin at 3:30 yesterday. An amazing paramedic on the phone. He was so amazing. Like, this is the second time, and I talk about that all the time, doing CPR on a man before, that the paramedics at the other end of the phone, when you ring 999, put them on loudspeaker. We put him on loudspeaker and he talked us through everything and it kept everyone calm. I picked Theo up then. He was still seizing at this point. So I was like, do I get into the passenger seat of the car? Do we drive? You're talking rush hour traffic, all this going through my head. But actually what I chose to do was that I have a neighbour who's 4 kids. She's brilliant. She's a doctor. And I was saying that to you before we actually started chatting. It's really important to get your head around where you live, who your neighbours, who's likely to be in during the day, at night, who'll answer their door. You know, if you ever get to a thing that you need help. So I said, if this is going to be more serious, I didn't know how long he was seizing. If it kept going, I really would love some backup help, even making that decision if there's no ambulance available or when he's stable enough to go to a doctor or hospital. But I brought him across and within a minute he started coming around. So he started moving his eyes. So he wasn't responsive at all, and he started moving his eyes a little bit more and coming around, and then he was just postictal, we call it. So he was just totally out of it. So we had stripped him off. His trousers were off anyway because he was on the changing mat. And his trousers were off anyway, so I just stripped him down into his nappy just to cool him off a bit. His temperature when he was having a seizure was only 37.6.
How?
So it was, the very, most of the time it's when it's shooting up that the babies can't regulate their temperature. They can't do all the things that we can do. So they can't regulate the temperature to the same extent. So that's why that they're more vulnerable to this. They reckon
it's genetic. Do you think the campfall was kicking in?
Yeah, but the problem is, yes, yeah, it would have been. But they're saying that with febrile seizures, what was really interesting, speaking to the doctor after, is that they just will happen regardless of how well you're managing a temperature. And it's just that the temperature was shooting up. His body couldn't cope with trying to regulate the temperature and it has a seizure. And he had a seizure. And she was saying that, what's interesting is, and it's good for us to know that you've about a third more likely in comparison to the general population to have a seizure again. So it's just to be kind of mindful of that. It was funny when you kind of are kind of coming out. I brought him to Temple Street, and actually because there was no GP appointment, and I did want a third just because when a baby has a first seizure and like they're so terrifying. Mm-hmm. But I brought him in, and actually he came to, and he's a pretty wild 18-month-old. So eventually I was like, at 9 o'clock last night, the absolute angels, everyone working in Temple Street deserves some sort of award. They're incredible people. Guys, if you want to give a box of chocolates or a treat to anyone Temple Street, please, ED, oh my God, they're amazing. But he was pretty wild. I actually felt sick for the super sick kids at that stage. I was like, should I bring him home? He was fine. But it turned out actually that he has red ears, so not a massive ear infection, but when the doctor looked at his throat, she's like, there's literally pus dribbling down his throat. He is so he's on antibiotics now, penicillin.
So he's on the mend.
He's on the mend. He's grand, but
So just back to the seizure.
Yeah.
Because there might be a case where one of us listening or in studio or in this building will experience that.
Yeah.
What do we do in that instance? They're unresponsive. It looks like a seizure. Do we leave them? Do we call an ambulance? Do we try and give them a suppository of Calpol or whatever? What
so
do we do?
A seizure looks like generally they'll lose colour. They lose, generally speaking, they'll be maybe like blue. He was really dark blue, maybe pale around the lips, but he was really dark blue, totally unresponsive. When I said, hello, Theo, and I got right down beside him, he didn't make any eye contact. He didn't recognise. He didn't make any sort of effort to communicate with me. He was totally unresponsive. Okay. His legs were they can stiffen with a jerking movement of all of the off the body, and they can go red around the face as well. So he was totally unresponsive, stiff, jerking limbs. Okay, but in this scenario, if I was on the house on my own, ringing an ambulance is really important. Because
to get them to talk to you,
okay. Put your phone on loudspeaker. This is the thing about seizures, and this is the rule of thumb for seizures crossway for first aid. You need to let them happen. You need to keep the person safe, okay? You can put something under the head. If somebody's on a ground having seizure, you could put something under their head. You could, you just literally need to have absolutely nothing into the mouth.
Okay.
Nothing into the mouth. Don't try and move them. Don't try and restrain them. You're getting an idea of time, and I know I said that a minute ago, but that's really important. Getting an idea of time, and whether that's they start moving, you call an ambulance, then you know you have 30 seconds run in and that the time on the phone to the ambulance will give you an idea. Just literally let them have the seizure. Don't try and reduce the temperature, just to ignore it. You just need to let them have it and let them come out the other side. And then what you can do is rolled him onto a side. He was a bit all out of it because vomiting can happen and that sort of thing after a seizure. So you need to move them on side that it'll pool out because it'll take them a while to come to. Like he wasn't right for about 2 hours after it. Put them on a soft surface
was
as well.
Was it strep?
Strep is diagnosed on a swab, so I don't know. But like I'd be suspicious. It just like, you know, when you kind of think about there's so much going around.
I mean, I just read the letter from the HSE sent to the schools. I literally just got it this morning. And it's not just about strep A, it's about the magnitude and the amount of viral infections going around. It is everywhere. And a lot of people are worried. And that's why it's good to know what to do if they are having a seizure, how to deal with it, and how to look for the signs. So, what is strep A? Let's talk about that for a sec.
Strep A is a bacteria and it generally lives in the upper airways, the nose, throat. It can live on the skin, but primarily in the nose and throat, the back, right? And if they say like 20% of the population just walks around with strep A, causes them no hassle, they're asymptomatic. So, but when it flares up, generally strep throat. So that's what it is.
Yeah.
So a strep A flares up, you get a really infected ming and throat, okay? It can cause scarlet fever, tonsillitis, in impetigo. That's when I was saying just about the skin. So they're the general things that it can cause. Where it gets really serious, so it is group strep A, but it's called invasive strep A. So basically it can get into the bloodstream and that's where it can go to the lungs and et cetera, and it can cause sepsis, and that's where it can be fatal.
So we need to identify it and we need to treat it. Now, it's not, you can't get a vaccine. This is treated with...
Penicillin generally. And if you're allergic to penicillin, there's other options. But when you know... So typically speaking, it's normal... So if you have an infection, okay, generally it's normal to have temperatures for about 3 days, but you should see, and that goes for if you have scarlet fever, and we can talk about that, but like any sickness, you should see an improvement every day that you're sick. If your child, firstly, know your child's baseline, and I know that we talked about that before, especially for small babies. Take when they're calm after the bath, take a video on your phone of just them normal breathing and what colour do they, you know, get a baseline, especially if you're new parents and you're trying to get your head around this, okay? But they should be feeling better. Their temperatures should be reducing after about 3 days. If they're getting worse, there's a major flag. Are signs of this invasive strep A? Are they drowsy? Are they lethargic? Are they confused? Are they irritable? Theo was irritable all yesterday. He was not himself at all, okay? Vomiting and diarrhea is a sign. This rash. When they talk, what strep A can cause is scarlet fever. One of my kids had it at one stage. I think the middle one had it about 3 years ago and I remember it right. So that can present with a sore throat, fevers, generally unwell, and this red rash. And the red rash is sort of, it's a blanching. So when you're pressing it, it goes away, but it's all over the body. In darker skin, it can appear quite rough actually under the touch. Red tongue. So it looks nearly like their tongue is a strawberry. It's that red, high fever, red cheeks and pale around the lips. And generally scarlet fever, it's been around and it's been recognised. It was one of the leading causes of death like a couple of hundred years ago, but it's so effectively treated with penicillin. So any of those symptoms, especially with the introduction of a rash into your general kind of virus scenario, that would be a flag to go to the doctor and get them seen and get prescribed as needed. And then, so, but not all scarlet fever can get really serious. I know in my case it was penicillin for I think 3 days something or 5 days, but Esme jumped, I remember she bounced back pretty quickly. But when it gets serious, this is it. When dehydration is another thing that we can touch on, but you know your child better than anyone else, okay? You know them better. You know their baseline. You know when, like I said, I must have said to my mum 4 times yesterday, Theo's not himself. There's me practicing what I preach, but I didn't bring it enough. Like you know your child better than anybody else. If you're like, there's just something not right. It is not normal for him to sit cuddling me. He's got a high temperature, blah, 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 whatever it is, off baseline normal, okay? Signs of dehydration would be really important. Is that, have they got like kind of sunken eyes? You know, on small babies, you have the, you know, the gaps in the head, the fontanelles, are they looking a little bit sunken? Mm-hmm. Usually they're flat. We were saying as well the last time I was in, with a baby in particular, the colour of the urine tells everything for all ages, okay? Yeah. We want a straw-coloured urine, so really, really light, tiny tinge of yellow through it, tiny. But other than that, if your urine is anyway dark yellow or darker than that, you're dehydrated. Those pipettes of you know, for Calpol and Nurofen, fill them, even if it's my wadi, whatever the fluids they'll take, squirt on regular basis, squirt fluids into their mouth. If it's milk, it doesn't matter, but get fluids into them on a regular basis, okay? One dry nappy should have you alarm bells. So you change a nappy at 12, you then do another feed 3.5 hours later, 4 hours later, whatever it is. And if the nappy is dry, there's a red flag and you need to get the... But if your baby has had 2 dry nappies, that really, 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 that's not normal and you should definitely address that. That's severe dehydration. Okay. So, and a white tongue, sorry, and dry around the mouth.
Sorry. Like you said, you know your baby, you know if it's... And it's about, I suppose with these letters from the HSE, it's about just paying close attention.
Yeah, and keeping them at home. If it just like we did with COVID, if they're sick, it could be strep A. And your child, this is the thing, right? If your child has a high temperature, a sore throat, they may have a headache, and that can be quite difficult. Or even, you know, to diagnose if they have a headache, because are they covering their eyes? Are they holding their head? Even a sore throat can be hard. So in Theo's point of view, that he loves milk anyway, but like, are they drooling? Could that be a sign that they're swollen? You know, that sort of thing. But keep them at home, because your child might have a mild form of an infection, okay? But the problem is that if they go into school, A, it can be contagious. Strep A is through coughing and fluids and that. But also you could give it to a child whose immune system is compromised, or they could bring it home to someone else in the house with immune. So it's all about keeping everybody safe.
Keeping everybody home if they're sick. Can I just ask you lastly, just because we're short on time, why is it so rampant at the moment?
So they don't really know. They obviously have suspicions about the fact that we were indoors during the COVID lockdowns and that our immune, they call it, they have some term, but basically it's the immune system hasn't developed enough to, you to say if I get in contact with a strep A infection, a really mild one, I build up an immunity to that. It gets into my body gets all these antibodies built up and now I can fight it. It's like any illness. But because we were inside, our babies and children weren't exposed to these
little,
these viruses and infections. So they haven't got that immunity. Just remember as well that temperatures, if your baby is under 3 months old and they spike a temperature at 38, that's a sign to go to the GP.
Okay, because we just got a text in, Jen, the advice is not to go to the hospital or GP unless necessary. It's so hard to know with small babies, should we go if worried, or what's the best advice?
So this, there's lots of different avenues I think that people probably don't explore. So in my situation yesterday, was I right to go to the hospital? Well, because I thought he was seizing potentially for longer than the 5 minutes, which is the kind of HSE guidelines, that's why I went. But actually, if I got a GP appointment, that probably would have been after a seizure, something like that is totally appropriate. If you're extremely worried, 2 dry nappies, that's dehydration. If you have health insurance, for example, that there's a nurse on call, you can ring VHI. You can also ring your GP and talk to them and ask for a phone consultation. A lot of GPs are doing that. Over a temperature of 40, if they're not well, absolutely sit in them. But any sign of a rash, anything, and if your gut is that you're really worried, first port of call always, I think, is a GP. Let them triage it. Let them give you the advice.
Pick up the phone. Sarah, thank you so much for coming in and speaking with us. I hope that put everybody at ease a little bit with knowledge, because knowledge is power. You know your child. Be safe. And this text kind of sums it up. I really hope employers are listening and will be understanding when parents need to stay home.
Yep.
There we go.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.